I then asked if we could find out the name of our guides. S. They will speak to you when it is necessary or relevant. There are really no names used here on the spirit plane. There are only sounds, vibrations and colors. Naming is a habit peculiar to the human race. It allows for easy identification. But these names which you like to give to guides are somewhat derogatory or misleading, for names have a vibration and attaching or assigning a name to a guide can give it the wrong vibration. So it is best to know a guide more by vibrations than by name. D. You said it was possible for anyone to become a guide. Does it take quite a while to get to the position of being a guide to someone else? S. It depends solely on how you develop your karma. Some people who are able to really develop their karma in a positive way become a guide within one or two cycles of lifetimes. But others have to work on it longer. It just depends on the individual development. It's really a matter of attaining a particular spiritual plane. Once you've attained this plane, you can be either a guide or sit on the general council, see chapter 13, depending on which way you need to develop at that particular point. When you're in spiritual levels below this plane, then you're still growing in other ways and you're doing other things to help, but not as direct as being a guide. D. I've heard it said that some people ask when they cross over, will I now be allowed to guide other people? And the answer is, how can you be a guide when you still need a guide yourself? S. Well, there are always those that are more advanced than you to help you out. It's like an adult guiding an adolescent who in turn turns around and helps a child, who in turn turns around and helps a toddler to stay out of trouble. 138 Conversations with the Spirit. D. I thought you have to go through a certain number of experiences or requirements before you could be a guide. S. That's so. When you get to the level where you can guide an individual person on the physical plane, then you've reached that stage of spiritual development where you can handle that responsibility in a spiritually mature manner without flubbing up. But that doesn't mean that you've stopped all your growing because someone more advanced than you is still helping you with your growing, while you in turn are helping someone else who's not as advanced with their growing. And that's the way the whole system works. D. But you could still make mistakes if you weren't ready for the job, so to speak, of guiding someone. S. But you're ready for the job when you're given the job. That would be a mistake on the. There are no mistakes like that made. When you cross over, the energy patterns are perfectly clear and you can tell right away where someone is compatible and where they fit in and what level they're at and what they can do. And that's what you give them to do. You give it to them in such a way that it helps them to grow and develop so they can attain new abilities. D. Then there are no slip-ups. S. Right. Because that would be a slip-up in positioning, not a slip-up in what they can or can't do. If you give a person something that's beyond their capability, it's not their mistake, it's your mistake. D. Well, they always say you can learn a lot from teaching other people. You are the ones who make these choices. You said it would be a slip-up on the part of whoever was telling them to do these things. S. I was using it as a metaphor. D. I was wondering if there was anybody up there who was saying, all right now, it's your turn to go back and be a guide, or something like that. S. No. Since everything is energy here, everything is done according to how you fit in with the energy. As you work on helping other people, you're building up energy on your own. And when you get a certain amount of energy built up, then it's time for you to re-enter the physical plane, because it takes energy to go back through the barrier and continue guides 139 working on your karma once again from that level. D. Then you know it yourself. There's no one that says, well, it's time now for you to do these things. In our society we are used to having someone in charge of things. So I was trying to fit all this within those boundaries. S. Correct. Everything's perfectly clear to everybody, so it's not a matter of telling anyone what to do because it's apparent to you and everyone else what needs you have and what you can and will do. Everything is seen in the form of energy here. Every thought and intention has energy that is apparent. And when it's time for you to go back and re-enter the physical plane, that's when the general council comes in and determines where you fit in the pattern. And that determines when and where into who you are born on the physical plane. D. then the council has a lot to say over it. S. It's not necessarily having say over it, it's just a matter of helping, of making sure that the energy continues to flow the way it should. When someone needs to return to the physical plane, then they re-enter that level of energy where they should, in a way that's compatible with their energy and the surrounding energy, to make sure it ends up putting them back into contact with people that they have been in contact with before in other lifetimes. And hence you come up with linked karmas. D. What would happen if somebody is all set up and it's all planned out where they're supposed to come back, and at the last minute they change their mind? S. They don't, though. D. What if they decide they want to wait or they don't want to go in right at that time? S. The time for procrastinating is already past when you have set up the process for re-entering the physical plane. Before you decide to enter the physical plane, you can spend as much time on the spiritual plane as you wish. When the point comes when you decide it's time for you to re-enter the physical plane, once you make that decision, it's set into motion. Then you're stuck with your decision. Because your conversations with a spirit energy starts flowing in that direction, to be redirected back into the physical plane. It's just a force of the universe that once you start the process, you have to follow it through. D. I was thinking in particular of babies that were stillborn, that maybe the spirit had decided to change its mind at the last minute and not come in. S. No. What happens with babies that are stillborn is that the parents bearing the baby need that experience in their lives at that point for their own development of their karma, for some reason or another, depending upon the individual circumstances. D. Well, I thought it would make sense that maybe the spirit was not quite ready and wanted to wait or was trying to get out of the contract, so to speak. Or also in cases when they die when they're very young, just a few months old. S. The ones that die when they're very young, in those cases they are usually spirits that are advanced enough to occasionally go to the physical plane, not necessarily because they need to work out an aspect of their karma, but to help out someone else's karma. They do it to help them when for some reason the other person's karma will be benefited by just having a particular spirit within the realm of their lives for a short duration. D. Just a few months. S. Or even a few days. Then the spirit re-enters the spiritual plane and continues with what they were doing. Later on, if they need to go back to the physical plane to work out another lifetime of karma, they go ahead and do so. But sometimes more advanced spirits will volunteer to go to the physical plane for a short period of time to help give another spirit's karma a nudge. D. I keep thinking that they had something like a contract that they had to fulfill and they were hesitating or were wanting to renege on that contract. S. Contract is a bad word. It does not apply at all. Because when a spirit makes the decision, I want to re-enter the physical plane, they don't make the decision until they're ready to follow through on it. If they feel like they're not ready to follow through on the decision, why make the decision? Once they decide, their energy starts flowing in that guides 141 direction. And it's fitted into the overall pattern in such a way that it continues to develop their karma and fit into the overall pattern of the universe. D. The other spirits have given me these words. I guess we're trying to put this into terms we can understand from our physical viewpoint. That's why these words seem to apply. They were also looking at it from different viewpoints, I suppose. And I may have been talking to spirits that were not as highly developed. S. That's a possibility. Sometimes when it is time for the spirits on lower spiritual levels to re-enter the physical one plane, they don't perceive how the energy affects the whole system. They don't realize that they're making the decision is a type of commitment. I will use an analogy. On your world you have a type of entertainment called a water slide. It's like pouring some water at the top of the slide. You can't recollect the water until it reaches the bottom of the slide and runs off the edge. This is like entering the physical plane again. Making the decision to enter the physical plane starts the energy flowing, and that's the equivalent of pouring the water out of the container at the top of the slide. To be able to recollect the water in its former state, that is, recollect your energy on the spiritual plane, you have to go down the slide. In other words, you have to follow through. D. You can't stop halfway. S. Right. It's not because someone is holding a gun to your head, so to speak, and making you do it. It's just simply one of the laws of the universe on how energy flows. Once energy starts going through this pattern, the energy has to complete this pattern before it can be turned to other things. The spirits on lower levels of development have not been able to get a grasp of this overview yet, and so if they make the decision that they're ready to go back and they start having second thoughts, they may feel like they're being compelled to go back. It's not because anyone's making them go back, it's just simply because they're already into the process of being poured onto the slide. They have to go down the slide before they can be collected at the bottom edge, so to speak. D. Things are already in motion. Conversations with a spirit. S. Exactly. D. Then these answers could be from people that are on lower levels of development. S. Yes, or perhaps they felt that you might not be able to understand answers from higher levels. It is obvious that I would naturally be speaking to spirits at many levels of development. So their answers may not be contradictory. It is merely the truth from their viewpoint. D. But there are people in the physical who seem like they don't want to be here. They're very angry. S. Yes, these are spirits who are having trouble with negative karma and they're being somewhat recalcitrant. And the spirits who are attracted to negative karma are usually somewhat angry about being on the physical plane again because they're convinced they're going to screw up some more. D. That's why I get the feeling they were made to come back and they don't want to be here in the body. S. And so it's as if they're in the process of running around in that vicious cycle that I mentioned earlier. When you ask anyone to describe their concept of God, you are asking a very complex question, because there are probably as many definitions for God as there are people. Our inner visualization of what God must be like is conditioned by our religious upbringing, and this is what we usually fall back on. It would be very difficult to change our concepts of not only this but all the other ticklish topics that are approached in this book. It all requires an open mind, a mind that is willing to at least listen to other ideas, even though they may at first appear to be ridiculous and preposterous. I believe the early church had to present God in as simple a way as possible in order for the people of the times to conceive him at all. I believe that people down through the ages just accepted these early presentations of him, and a great many did not bother to question further but believed the picture the church had given them. There may have been a few even in those days, who permitted themselves a broader view of him. When we strip aside the brainwashing and conditioning and look at these concepts with a fresh mind, it is amazing how they do not contradict at all. They are merely different ways of saying the same thing. The following is the way different individuals in deep trance answered the question of how they conceived God in the spirit state between lives. S. We would ask that you visualize this scene. In all creation, from the very edges of every universe to the center and back, there is a force, unseen but there nonetheless, which is an invisible structure holding everything together. In concrete I-43-I-44 conversations with a spirit, there is rebar, reinforcing bars, invisible to the naked eye but holding the concrete together nonetheless. Are you familiar with this? D. Yes, I understand what you are saying. S. This then is the God concept. It is the rebarb of the universe which holds all together, unseen but there nonetheless. For were this to phase out for even a fraction of a second, there would be total, utter, complete destruction. This is the God concept which has been given personality status on your world. S. I am observing the structure of this universe. D. Can you tell me what you see? S. I'm not sure this language is sufficient. I have heard this from every entity I have ever spoken to. Our English language and probably every other language on earth is just incapable of capturing the true picture of what the entity sees. I told her I understood this and asked her to attempt it anyway. S. Right now I am able to see into parts of the spectrum that you cannot see with your eyes. I can see the colors and the appearance of the cosmic rays that you cannot see. I can look into the very hearts of the planets and see the scintillating network, the latticework of the atoms that hold them together. It is extremely beautiful and powerful. The narrow band of waves that you can see with your eyes are different colors, and the broader bands that you cannot see are also different colors, until it gets to the bands that you observe by hearing. But I can still see them and see their colors too. It's part of the same electromagnetic spectrum. D, these bands are so high that we can only hear them. Then does that mean that sound also has color? S, yes. Sound is much, much slower than what you call light. But they're all vibrations and energy, and I can see them all. The band that you perceive is light, and then beyond what you see is light. I can observe it all. It is impossible to describe it because I can also see the ether. It's very beautiful. It would be much like observing aurora borealis. Picture all of space being filled with aurora borealis, interconnecting God and Jesus 145 and all the different colors mixing with each other. Where you have sheets and areas of energy and colors interacting and altering each other and causing changes to come to pass. It's very complex. D, we picture space as being black and empty. You mean it's actually full of all these colors and vibrations? S, exactly. Vibrations, colors, energy, and they go through everything, too. Just because there's a planet sitting there going around the sun, that doesn't mean it blocks or drapes the energy just goes right through. All energy that's there to be affected gets affected. The entire universe, and then this universe is connected with the other universes. D, what is the source of all this energy? S, the energy has always been there. I don't really know the source. Perhaps there was a source at one time. Yet this energy is what the universes are built out of. And when the universes have lived their lives, they'll be broken back down into this energy. And then new universes will be built out of this energy again. This sounds like reincarnation on a massive, gigantic scale. A never-ending, constantly repeating cycle affecting the largest and also possibly the very smallest of all creation. D, we're so used to thinking of light coming from the sun and such as that. I thought maybe this energy was coming from somewhere. S, no. Energy is all there is, and it fills up the all that there is. It's all energy. And the energy, in the process of being all that there is, transforms itself into various structures, which end up being planets and suns and energy and thoughts and various universes and what have you. D, what kind of a concept do you have of this all that there is? S, psi. It's too big for even me to conceive all of it at once. The only way I can put it into words is, all that there is, ever, forever and ever. All that there is energy. And as the energy fluctuates as energy does the various universes come into existence is fluctuations of this energy. D, I was wondering if that would fit in with our God concept. S, actually that concept is rather narrow. But considering the limited scope of your minds, you do the best you can. I'm not conversations with a spirit putting you down. I'm just stating a fact. The broadest concept of God that you can possibly conceive would still be as narrow as a thread compared to this all that there is. And then you must consider that many of your fellow human beings have narrow concepts of God, which is unfortunate, but that's the way it is. They're too frightened to open up for their full potential. D, I was just wondering if anything was directing any of this, the making of the universe, the making of the people and all that. That goes back again to our God concept. S, energy is organized. Energy has always been organized. That is part of its basic structure. It is this basic organization which goes down to the very, very tiniest limits of its structure that cause things to appear in order and to be organized. D, it is because of this order that people think it has to be directed by something. S, no, it develops the way it should develop according to its organization as regular fluctuations in the energy. There are regular fluctuations back and forth from one area to the other that affect this universe and other universes in particular ways. The fluctuations vary from the extremely large and gigantic to the very teensy, tiniest fluctuation possible, which your scientists won't ever discover the limits of. They keep discovering smaller subdivisions of energy, but it doesn't appear that they'll ever get down to the very basic structure. D, I believe it's going to be very difficult for people to get away from the idea of a God directing things. They like to think that things are out of their hands and that an overall power is in charge. S. Yes. One of the major things in the next stage of human development is to realize that everyone is in charge of their own fate. That what they desire to come to pass is what comes to pass. Things that appear to happen out of the clear blue are a result of past causes, past thoughts or what have you that was sent out. Another entity put this back into a concept I could more readily accept. He was talking about spirits from the higher levels coming down to our level to help us here on earth. God and Jesus I 47s, it's sometimes useful to travel backwards and help those below. Spirits from the higher dimension sometimes return to your dimension and help those on the physical world to raise their awareness. There is a dispensation given to those who would do this. It is allowed, so to say, and it is done. This is not a physical type of an experience. D. Who or what makes this allowance or approves of this? S. This is done by the councils who govern the universes. Each universe has a central council, and then there are local councils. D. This is a new idea to me. I've always thought of just one universe. Can you elaborate, please? S. There are many universes, many, many universes. Ours is one particular universe, or the universe we are in here now is merely one universe of many. There are many, many different universes. D. This is a little hard for me to comprehend. Are they outside of our universe or what? S. They are in physical space. The concept demands a very broad imagination to conceive of the distances involved. There are political is not an accurate term, but it is one which can be understood here. There are governments of spiritual levels. In each universe there are governmental levels which govern the individual and collective universes. D. Would this be equivalent to what people call God or an overall being? S. Of course. It is the same God for all. My God is your God, is all God. D. Is he the one who sets up the councils? S. There are councils delegated. He does not, in himself, bother with this. He has beings underneath him who do the work, so to say. There is a chain of command. We ask that you take a more open-minded view and consider God as merely an observer of his children in their tasks. The children are doing the tasks. God simply is. God is, period. The children are doing, God is. The concept of God is the sum of all, of everything. We are God. We are collectively God. We are individual pieces of God. God is not one, but God is all. D. Then the councils are set up in different parts of the universe, in different areas. Conversations with the spirit S, yes. Local governments, if you will. D. Is this true of our planet Earth? Acts we under a council, so to speak? S. That is true. D. I'm trying to understand. With many universes, do you mean each one has its own God? S. All the universes put together make God. Each universe does have the awareness of God, although the awareness would be different in different universes as well as different areas in one universe. Their concept of God would be different. The reality of God is unchanging in all universes, in all creation. God is, we are a part of God individually. But all of us together taken as a whole is what God is. D. Is this the force that created everything? S. That is correct. This is merely a manifestation of God. D. What about us as individual souls? Do you have any information about how we were first created? S. We were merely given personalization. We are merely pieces of God, whom he has given personalization to. D. Why did we divide off from God, if that's a correct term? S. This is merely a part of the overall plan, the grand, divine plan which only God himself knows in fullness. Many know small details, but none except God himself knows in completeness. D. You said we are all God. Yet we here on earth all have faults, we are not perfect. If we are part of God, wouldn't that make him imperfect? S. There is merely a misunderstanding of the word imperfect. All that is God. But God is perfect. Therefore, all is perfect. What we perceive as imperfect is merely our perceptions. Our perceptions are not necessarily the same even on other parts of the planet, so what we perceive cannot be held as absolute. What we perceive as imperfect is not necessarily so when viewed on the God level. Imperfections are human, but God loves imperfections as surely as He loves perfections. This is to understand God. To know Him is to love Him the more, knowing that He loves us for our imperfections as well as for our perfections. The imperfections are merely imperfections to us, but not to God. We can call them what we want. God and Jesus I 49d, you're speaking of God as though He is separate from us, and yet you say it takes all of us to make up God. Can you explain? You say that He loves us. How can this be if He is not a separate entity from us? S. First of all, God is not separate from us. He is intimately joined with us. Perhaps it would clarify to understand the blood system in the human body, which is made up of individual cells or aspects. The system itself could not be whole without the individual hemoglobins and so forth. However, each hemoglobin is not complete without being in the system. Thus all is one and one is all. Each cannot exist without the other. Jesus D. Are we to believe that the man, Jesus, was the Son of God? S. This is a very gross simplification, for God is not human. How can He have a son? This was couched in these terms for people to understand on a very basic level. The term son was not meant to be taken literally. If you wish for a clarification, Jesus was an emissary from another level of spiritual reality which is much closer to God than we are. His level was not directly below God. In other words, there are levels which are more complete than Jesus. However, he was from a level which no man before had ever been from. The human mind has trouble comprehending many of these concepts. Therefore, they must be couched and phrased in terms which human comprehension will accept. D. The Bible teaches us that Jesus was with God and a part of God before he came to the earth. Is this in the same way that our spirits are a part of God also? S. That is correct. D. But was he not more like God? S. He was on a higher plane, if you would. D. Are there others that have incarnated that could be classified in the same one? Don't know if I should say role, but others that have come to earth as helpers that would be considered as great as we Christians consider Jesus? Others that we may not even know about that are incarnating in the same vein. I-50 conversations with a spirit. S. If you are speaking of now, then I'm not allowed to say. D. Have there been other emissaries like Jesus in the past? S. Certainly. They are well documented. The names are not important because one tends to lose sight of the intent and focus on the individual. There were those who were, you might say, street people who were not as well known but were from that same plane. They served their purpose admirably. They merely were not as well known as Jesus was. D. What was the purpose of Jesus' death? S. His death was entirely his own choosing. The Bible would state otherwise, and that is all right if one wishes to believe that. However, he was killed by human hands and human will, and not by divine destiny. It was his choosing to put himself into man's destiny. D. You're right, the Bible does say that he himself said that no man took his life, he laid it down of his own will. S. This is true. D. But what was the object of that? S. If you wish for an object, notice who did the killing, the humans or the executioners in this case. This was merely to underscore the level at which human interaction was, and is still. D. Did he die in order to prove to men that they could live again? S. If that's what they need to believe. Literally, no. Figuratively, yes. D. What was it literally? S. There was no such literal translation for the need for his death. He simply placed his well-being into the hands of men and allowed them to do as they would. The outcome is well documented. D. Why did he choose such a horrible way to die? S. He didn't choose that. That was the custom at that time. He merely consented to this. He had the power to escape his death if he wished. He chose to experience it. D. I think we're trying to understand what he was trying to prove by dying in such a manner. S. His motives are his own, and I will not try to second-guess them.